I here?
Solid question, but I don't know.
Who are we?
I'm Randy, and that guy over there is Kevin.
Why are you tuned in?
Well, only you can really answer that.
Where are we?
We're from the frozen tundra, and yes, we do live in igloos.
Will this whole intro be a questionnaire?
You bet your maple syrup tits
who
it will.
Who is this queen bat?
Strap in, we are talking about him.
Brand new angle, highly commendable. Seaside Pod Review. Woo-hoo. Seaside Pod Review.
Podcast.
Seaside Pod Review.
Okay. All right, whatever. You want to start podding or what?
Yeah, we can start podding anytime you want. Well, I mean, you know, this is a podcast after all.
Is that how you start? You start the pod, usually one of us saying, should we start podding? And then that's where the go is. Because you got to keep in mind, I don't listen to this fucking thing, right?
Yeah, usually the first thing one of us says, well, do you want to start podding? That is usually you. And that's right. Actually, I think, well, that's where I'll start the podcast then. Because, you know, it's a good, it's a high tempo, high energy. You know, it explains the podcast in a nutshell. It gets us off on the right foot. You saying, you want a podcast or what?
It's, I'll say this. If nothing else, it's very, very professional.
Oh, listen,
we got to be like edging old fucking Joe Rogan out of his spot here pretty soon, I'd imagine, with our podcasting prowess.
Looking over his fucking stupid, fat, bald-headed shoulder.
if anybody needed a slap worse, I think it's him. But anyhow, I realize some people like him. So I kind of liked him better when he was stoned and making people eat weird things on Fear Factor.
I didn't mind it when he was just talking to comedians about comedy or musicians about music. But then he decided he thought he was the next Jesus and fucking went mad and started having lunatics on his show. So, you know, fuck that guy. That's what I say, Randy.
Ooh, it ought to be a crime.
Fuck that guy. Well, so I'll give you a little rundown of the excitement in my life. Here we go.
Well, this is going to be 2 weeks worth too, right? Because we missed last week. So,
it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks worth of excitement. Okay. Well, this my memory's not that long, so I'm just going to go with 1 week. But anyhow, I went to a lovely place which I probably mentioned last time called Flin Flon, and that's in Manitoba, and it's quite a bit north of even here. And to most people listening to this, we're so far fucking north. We live in igloos, let's be honest. So it's great. We go, there's a motherfucker of a snowstorm, which, it was crazy, roads, nasty, insane, scary trip. Got there, you know, did the fucking hockey. I get a call from my lovely wife, who I've been married to for, a little while. She's all right.
wife number one, if she, you know.
Yeah, number one, but you know, until she fucking gets rid of me, let's be honest. But so I get a call from my lovely wife. A gentleman was cruising down our street, misjudged something, snowy young fella, hit my son's car, hit my car. My cars are all fucked. I got no car. Driving a rental.
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, so I'm dealing with insurance and all those. I mean, you know, we've all had to do this kind of shit, right? It's just such a ball ache, you know?
Yeah, let me ask you this, though, Randy. Did the young man stop and tell you that he'd hit? Or tell Di that he'd hit? Oh, sorry.
Well, here's just a little side note to the story, which obviously, Kev, you know, but I don't know if these people know. I do location sound, and so I worked on a TV series for 5 seasons, and it's called Paramedics Emergency Response, and it's shot right here in town. So I say all that to say, but it was one of the main cast members' kids, who I know him quite well. It was one of his kids that hit my car. Like a very, very upstanding citizen, he came and knocked on the door and apologized and, you know, said, you know, it was an accident. But the police had to come and the whole police report and all that bullshit. So, and yeah, I mean, I mean, I wasn't here, so I didn't even see his car, but I'd imagine his car's fucked too. So
knowing where you live and knowing the environs, I don't understand what possibly could have happened to make him hit your vehicles. I just don't understand how that's possible.
It's a straight street running.
It's a straight street.
East and west, running east and west. And although it was snowy, but it's a 50 kilometer an hour speed limit. So, like, you know, you shouldn't. You shouldn't be going faster than that, but whatever.
Don't understand. You know what? As we said, no one got hurt, no one got pregnant. So, you know, could have been a lot worse.
Nobody got hurt, and that is absolutely the main thing. So, yeah. Anyhow, there you go. That's, you know,
that's your story. It's not a great story.
Not a good story. It's not like, I don't think anybody's just sitting on the edge of their seat going, oh, I wonder how poor Randy's doing with his car problems. And I don't think anybody's saying that, Kevin. What about you?
Well, I thought I saw from a distance from the back, I thought I saw Ringo Starr the other day. Or it could have been Topol.
It's not a classic anecdote, is it?
Not a classic, no.
No, I was telling you offline that someone had sent me a very funny song. Let me just bring up a little bit of this very silly, very funny song that someone sent me. And I'm sure that some of our listeners might have already heard this. The song is called My Arms Are Just Fucking Stuck Like This. And it goes a little bit like this.
Oh, my arms are just fucking stuck like this. This ain't normal. Fuck! What do I do? Now I gotta walk like a douche for the rest of my life.
So that's the song, which Rhythm. led me down the rabbit hole of looking at, it's this obscurest vinyl, and it's like, you know, songs like Come Back Baby, I'm a Friend of Your Father, First Date Farts, in bracket, Don't Shit, Don't Shit, Don't Shit, and It's Raining Bullshit Tonight. So a lot of very silly, and what I thought was going on was someone has obviously found these old sort of, you know, these old record covers from yesteryear and thought, well, I know what I'll do is I'll make parodies on them and I'll create these songs in the styles of these artists. But from doing a little bit of reading, it feels and sounds like it might be all entirely AI, Randy. So that song we just heard, not one single part of it's real. The lyrics were generated by AI. The music was generated by AI. And so when I was tinkering around, I was telling you about this. So I gave this AI, little AI program, the command to write a driving hard rock song about catching shellfish in Eastbourne. And we'll just play a little bit of what the AI came up with in about, I don't know, 20, 25 seconds.
Journey down to the coast, a quest for what I crave, a fearless soul on a hunt for what I say. Got my hands ready, my boots laced up tight, gonna catch some shellfish, gonna feel alive tonight.
So there you go. I mean, you get the idea that, look, it's dreadful. I mean, I'm pretty sure that we have a friend who would actually listen to this and probably quite like it. And you know who I mean.
It sure sounds an awful lot like Chad.
It's a lot like Nickelback, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah. Yeah.
It reminded me of that old joke. You know, the guy fell downstairs with my holding my guitar and wrote a Nickelback song.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it has the same amount of soul as a Nickelback.
Exactly.
Song. Yeah, yeah.
But it's kind of scary. It's like we were saying. I mean, it's mad that you can just sort of plug this in and it comes up with everything. It comes up with the lyrics, comes up with the music, and of course it's bland and generic, but that's not going to last forever. It is going to eventually become almost indiscernible from real music, you know, which fucking sucks.
Yeah, that's quite honestly, I find that quite scary and quite, yeah, I guess just scary. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be a long time before AI artists are like, take a real serious bite out of a real human artist. But I don't know. Fuck, that doesn't sound too bad to me.
I think the real worry for it is
Nickelback fucking song.
It does. Nickelback, it's fucking, I was like, wow. Okay. Which is clearly, when I said a driving hard rock song, it's like, oh yeah, well, I'll thumb through my AI database. Well, probably they mean Nickelback. And yeah, that's the bilge that gets pumped out, right? But I think, you know, those of us who like real music, and that includes a significant portion of the younger generations, you want to go see a band or an artist live, even if they're just singing along to backing tracks and dancing, that's still a live performance. But I think the real worry with AI is the stuff that you do with soundtrack, right? You know, scoring film and TV and those kinds of things. If the companies, if it's just like, you know, if they can plug that into AI and get an entire score in fucking, I don't know, like, generated in 15 minutes, they don't need to hire someone then. And that's a problem, right? That's because then the creative industries beyond the performers really get hit with that.
Yeah. Well, voiceovers are really quite good on AI. So they're being used an awful lot, I know.
Yeah.
Just in my line of work. So
fuckers.
It ain't good. It ain't right. We're going to need a fucking UBI if this keeps going on there, Mr. Brune.
What does that mean? What's a UBI?
Universal Basic Income. If all of a sudden we can't work because there's no jobs.
Yeah.
Well, if the economy can't function, if we don't have income, and if we don't have income, you know what
I
mean?
Look, Randy, I will not have that kind of communist talk on this podcast.
Communist.
We're all about the Benjamins. Make as much money as you can at the expense of everyone else. Tread on toes to get up the ladder. You know, come on. You know I'm a starting the wool capitalist, mate.
You are. And a very, very conservative, right-wing, Jesus-loving conservative at that.
I love me some Jesus, especially on a Tuesday evening.
More vitamin J, please.
More bread, please. They can say a few things. More bread, please. Was that? That's Tap, isn't it? Yeah. That's Spinal Tap commentary.
Yeah. Spinal Tap. Yeah.
All right. Well, should we get into some potty potting?
Well, I'm not sure what really is fucking delaying this whole situation at this point. Yes.
Me. That's what's delaying us. It's me gibbering on as usual. Okay. Well, look, let's go straight to the tweets, the Twitter. Because last time we convened, which is 2 weeks ago now, we spun up Someday, One Day from Queen 2. And for the first time in quite a while, we were not unanimous on this one. I want to check when the last time... Oh, no. So She Makes Me, Also I Championed, and you did... Oh, no, I didn't. Wait a minute. Okay. Oh, yeah, it's been a long time. So Tenement Funster, all the way back in December, was the last time that we disagreed.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We were a couple of agreeable fuckers, eh?
We absolutely are. But we voted, or we guessed, tried to guess. Fucking hell, words are hard tonight, Randy. We tried to guess how the Twitter poll would come out. Do you remember? I like asking you if you remember. Sometimes you, but really.
Yeah, no, I think I said it was like 50% or something.
Well, I went 65-35, and I went first. Mm. And so you were going to go 50-50, but you thought maybe you should go a little bit higher because you thought that I may be onto something. So you went 64-36. So you went just under.
Oh, very fast.
So what was the result of said poll?
Well, we've got 81.1 champion, 18.9 biting the dust, which I got to say, surprises me a little.
Yeah, it surprised me a little bit too. I didn't think it would be that high. And again, I said to you that I thought that, you know, it's Queen 2, therefore its champion might carry it, but I didn't think it would necessarily carry it that high. So,
yeah, I think there's a lot of our listeners who, if it's Queen 2, it's the fucking bomb, and everybody else can just go fuck right off. I think that's basically, I think we've wrapped Queen 2 up, as a matter of fact, right there in that statement.
Just for the rest of the Queen 2 songs that we haven't done, just champion, 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 champion.
Yeah, I think we just move on.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't be able to. Then you wouldn't get to listen to all those fab songs on Queen 2. We're not doing that.
Yeah, I forget who it was. Somebody had said on Twitter, "Randy, why do you hate Queen 2?"
Yes, I don't know Queen 2.
I don't know. I haven't heard the whole thing yet, but I might hate the whole thing. I don't know.
No, of course not.
That's too funny. I'm here because I like Queen as well, and because Kev forced me to do this. Alice's dad says there are many reasons to dust this song, and so to the surprise of absolutely nobody, I'm going to champion it. I like it. I don't know why, but I do. There's something about it. I can understand where Mr. Randy is coming from, and I agree with some of it, but I just can't dust it. So yeah, thanks. Thanks, man. I appreciate you. You know, I could at least see where I'm, you know, you can see where I'm coming from. And Doug Curran says, Brian, Fred, I think Someday, One Day would slot in nicely between your Fairy Fellers and Black Queen. Freddie, can we talk about running order later, dear? By the way, Someday, One Day does have a rhyming scheme. Loud How between Queen Young Sung.
Yeah.
Loud How might be a bit of a stretch.
But that's the one I said. I mean, I think it might just about be an imperfect rhyme, but yeah.
I'm not above or against forcing a rhyme either, so that doesn't bother me. My problem with that song is far different than that. And if I'm being completely honest, at this exact moment, I have absolutely no idea how that fucking song goes.
Well, you, so you very rarely do, do you?
That's how much of a mark it made on me.
Holling says, it's a refreshing change of pace from the harder-edged father to son. May anticipates Too Much Love Will Kill You on this tender ballad. Barring the genuinely wretched loser in the end, Queen 2 holds nothing but compositions of a very high standard. Hashtag champion. So when we get to Loser in the End, it'll be interesting to see how that one goes. Steve at Queen Rock says, there are good reasons to dust this song, but it's a champion. And then he's got the Joker saying, and I'm tired of pretending it's not. That's the Joaquin Phoenix-y one, right? I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't remember. Oh, sorry. Am I? Do I bore you? Is that the problem? Is I'm just boring you?
Well, I mean, you're the one who said it, Mr. Brown.
I love doing that. You know, whenever you yawn, you say, oh, sorry, I'm yawning. I'm not because you're boring me. I mean, you are boring me, but that's not why I'm yawning.
But that's not why I'm yawning.
Lisa Malloy says, there is only one song on Queen 2 that I skip and dust. This isn't one of them. Therefore, a champion. I'm guessing I know which one it is. Steve Ursel says, it's not up there with Brian's best, but it's enjoyable and a champion. I agree the mix is muddy, which I'd never thought before, so thanks for making Queen worse for me. Now I'm off to listen to all of Queen 2 whilst indulging in the old Fairy Fellows Masterstroke. Oh no, it's become a euphemism.
Wait a minute. Alex Small, I love the Indian / Beatles vibe, one of Brian's finest hours vocally. Harmonies, guitarly? Champion of that, there is no doubt. Thank you, Alex. And Queen Rocks Australia. Haven't listened to the episode yet, but this one is a champ based solely on the 4 seconds worth of bass runs that Deaky delivers at 1 minute 7 seconds and 1 minute 47 seconds. The rest of it is quite good too. Classic yearnful Brian with a touch of latter period Beatle-esque experimentalism thrown in.
Yeah,
well, enough. I like that very, very, very specific bass licks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, anybody who wants to hear those licks, minute 7, minute 47.
Well, and if you do want to hear them, I did post out did I put that on our Twitter, or maybe I only put that on? No, I think I put it on everywhere. I did an edit with just the drums and just the bass, because when we were listening to that, if you remember, it was like, fucking hell, why can't we hear this more? It's so good.
Yeah.
But
Nikki Midwife was definitely going to dust this, but then I listened to the episode with fresh ears, and that bit of isolated sonic volcano was simply astounding. Why is it buried so deep? Loving the musicality of the drums, too. Once again, proving Raj is more than just a dumb drummer. Champ. Yeah, I mean, you know, not all drummers are dumb.
Not all of us. I mean, just most of us, you know.
Yeah, don't make me tell my stage level joke.
Every now and again, one breaks out. You know, we all stand there cheering and clapping and drooling and hoping that they bring back cheese, you know, so.
Yeah.
Exactly. Journal Paul B, Paul Bradbury says, it's on Queen 2, which only has one poor track, in brackets, Loser in the End. Sorry, Rog. That makes it a champion. It's also Brian's debut on lead vocals. You may have mentioned this on the app. I'm commenting before listening. How dare you, Paul? You must listen before you comment, sir. Absolutely not true. Harry Hussey, when Brian wrote good songs like White Queen on this very album, they were often excellent. When he was bad, he was boring. A plodding, nondescript song, dusty than Newcastle United's trophy cabinet. Dust.
Beautiful, mate. Are there more like you on your planet?
Dustier than Newcastle United's trophy cabinet, Harry? I don't think anything's that dusty. I think Lord Lucan's in there, probably. They check really at the back. That's why Lord Lucan's probably in there.
Chrissy Lake at The Waters of Love. Why do I say it like that? It just seems to me it needs to sound like that.
Yeah.
The Waters of Love. Champion. It makes me want to bang Brian. That's my version of the Fairy Fellers Masterstroke. Oops, did I say that out loud? Yes, you did, Chrissy. I can understand why Randy dusted it. Muddy mix, blah, 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 blah. But otherwise, sends me off to fairy tale land. Queen 2 is good for that. And PG at New Mercury says, I saw Queen 2 and hit champion. I'll look at the track name later.
There you go. Andy Hall Radio says, another sum of its parts champion for me. Queen 2 can do no wrong in my eyes and ears. Each piece is essential and someday, one day, gets in where it fits in. I fucking love this album. It has helped to lift me up anytime I've been in need. Reliable. Yeah, dude, you're not the only one. I think there's millions of us out there who feel the same. Our good pal, Ian Winnick. Says, if I had a record player, I'd be tempted to turn Q2 over after White Queen. Skip this song and spare myself the sound of Roger trying out his drum kit on The Loser in the End of side one. But then I'd miss the warm, fuzzy feeling that She Makes Me also has. Champion. So there you go.
Rob Maher, it's on Queen 2. This ends my critical analysis of this song. Champion. Kyle Anderson, champion. I can't believe Randy 39 this one. He may as well 39 the rest of Queen 2. Maybe it was Kyle who said that. Why do you hate, Randy, why do you hate Queen 2?
You're 39 in it. Chrissy's 69 in it. There's all sorts of fucking, going on around here with this song.
There's all kinds of entendres. Lynn Davidson says, Queen 2 is my refuge and there is no dust to be found there. So another, we got this lot of love for Queen 2, man.
We do. Black Pie says, bollocks. I had a great tweet written on this, but I had to jump off my train before I sent it. Now it's gone. All I'll say is I have no problem hearing John and Roger's amazing contributions. Then hashtag play Queen loud. You know, PQL is the hashtag. It is the kudo, credo to live by. Edishkaya Belchanova, who I don't think's been commenting for a little while. Hopefully everything's going okay with you, Edishkaya. Says it's not the best song on the album, but it's a nice, refreshing piece, like a lemon sorbet in the middle of a pentagruelic Baroque banquet. Now, what does pentagruelic mean, Randy?
Well, I'd tell you, Kev, but then that you'd look foolish, so you better look it up and tell us both, and that way that should really work. I have no idea what that word means.
Pentagruelic, okay. Coarse humor with a satire or a serious purpose, cynical humor. Baroque, obviously, sort of that, you know, wigs and fucking harpsichords and all that kind of era.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, you know, wigs, mainly wigs is what I think. When I think of Baroque, I think mainly wigs.
Ugh, wigs it is.
Andrew Holloway says, champ, the Brian I like best. Fey and plaintive. A wandering troubadour adrift in an enchanted medieval forest. Or something.
Ruddy Rutherford, Fit Light Photography. There is a soft, vulnerable melancholy to Brian's voice that Roger nor even Freddie can summon. There are some songs where only Brian's voice will work. Is this one of those songs? It's arguable, but I love it all the more for those weaker vocals. Champ. And Jim C. Curtis Sparkle. It's boring. Does nothing for me. I shall close the door on my fright-wigged, clog-wearing badger botherer. There you go.
I don't know if you're aware of Brian's badger bothering, are you? Do you know he's a badger botherer?
I don't even know what a badger botherer is.
Well, he campaigns.
I mean, I know what a badger is. I know what a botherer is. Together, I don't know what the fuck that means.
He campaigns on behalf of the badgers. The badgers haven't asked him to do this. I don't really know, and I don't think anyone does know how the badgers feel about it. But nonetheless, he campaigns on their behalf, and I think rather than making fun of that, I think we should be supportive of him taking on a good cause, I think so. Pank 007 says, his wavering vocal and the almost psychedelic guitar make this a clear winner. I like the song. And Rob Century says, doom folk, absolutely. Doom folk, I did that wrong, didn't I? So I said doom folk, absolutely glorious. Doom folk, that's kind of like, is that a new genre then? Or
an old genre. Folk? This song's fucking old, dude.
It's an old genre. Okay, well, mm-hmm. I better get my genre dictionary out and look up doom folk, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll put that into the AI thing and see what it comes back with.
Yes, you should. Dieter at My Chameleon Days. It's a champion. Brian's longing vocal, the seemingly endless fade. I like it. The song has a slightly dreamlike quality, which fits the Queen 2 album perfectly. Scott Vandiver, definite champion. Great bass runs and drum fills fit nicely, despite the muddled mix. Even the Hoodla on Hoodla crime, the last minute, couldn't knock this into the dust. Well, Scott, we could write a book. We could write a book about this.
It would be a short book. It would just say, Scott likes it, Randy doesn't. It's not much of a book. It's not exactly a weighty tome.
I didn't say it would be all about this. Scott and I got other interests, you know, Kevin. For fuck's sakes. Jesus.
Dominic Pierce says, I'm with Randy on this one. I wouldn't skip it, but it isn't in my top 50%. This and Loser in the End are the low points of Side White on Queen 2. Side Black, on the other hand, is a masterpiece from start to finish. Dust. And Brian Crosey says, Queen 2 equals champion. This is just the way of things, right? Right. And Roostveen says, on the album, I always listen to it. On the CD, it was easy to skip. It's not a bad song, but for me, it's on the bottom half of the catalogue. So it bites the dust for me. And I think that I'm pronouncing Roostveen correctly there, I think. I think it needs to have the R rolled.
You can roll your R's with the best of them, buddy. Aaron Mullen. I love May's masterpiece on Queen 2, but this isn't one of them. SDOD, which is that fucking song, meanders into mediocrity, not a patch of She Makes Me, despite a similar vibe. Afraid there's nothing memorable about it at all. A reluctant but justified duster. And I like it when we can justify it. And I really feel like you've done it, Aaron. I feel like I did it. I think in a way, Kev's sort of done a disservice to the podcast by, you know, championing it. But it's okay. You know, I can't control the way he votes. He's his own man, despite my best efforts to sort of just kind of channel him, you know, into the sort of the right kind of method of thinking. Blair 98 says, it's a champion, but only just. I love it on the album between two great tracks. As a standalone track, it's a bit ho-hum. I wouldn't skip it, but wouldn't search for it either. And Daniel Flett says, this is a marginal one. In its place on the album, it's perfect, but would never seek it out to listen to or put it on a playlist for a heathen, which is a non-Queenie, by the way. So Daniel says, dust.
Okay, we've got a couple more here to finish up Twitter. Hugh Jenkins says, another track for the wouldn't skip it, wouldn't put it on a playlist pile. Much like the Stormtrooper song a few weeks ago, in terms of the album, it makes total sense, but not strong enough to stand on its own. Q2 is in my top five albums, though, so champ it is. And Tom Bourget finishes us up by saying, I'm Team Cake on this one, which obviously was our discussion about pie versus cake. That's absolutely fine, Tom. Just know that you are wrong. It says, weaker track on Queen 2. I've listened to this podcast for too long because I knew how the two of you would vote for the exact reasons said. Young boy turbo, but of a nostalgia. As for Randy, I blame on the format. FCM. Dust. No. Fucking hell. Fuck. Ah. I can never remember. Well, we'll just leave it there.
But you know what? I think this is a really good time for us to talk about pie and cake again.
Hey, now don't start that again.
Now, I had posted a photo a couple days ago when I was on the road, and I had bought a couple of pies from McDonald's. You know, the little hot apple pies and blueberry pies?
Okay.
Someone was calling it a tart. I was calling it a pie. And like I said, it's not like I hate pie. It's just that cake is better. And then people were started talking about, well, okay, there's shepherd's pie. Is that really a pie, though?
Of course it is.
And fish pie, but there's no dough and it's savory and there's no alternative to that for cake. So that's void. Can't be brought into this conversation any further. I won't have it.
The butter wouldn't melt, so put it in the pie.
Okay. I am immediately, we finish this call, going to sit down and devise a shepherd's cake. I will update you on this next week when I've made it. I'll give you the ingredients and the recipe. And I will prove to you that shepherd's pie is better than shepherd's cake.
Well, and because
will that put an end to it?
No, because shepherd's cake doesn't fucking exist, and there's no way that you could make a shepherd's cake.
Of course, you could.
I want to see photos.
Okay.
And I want to see. And I'd love. It's not. It's gonna suck, Kevin. How do you? How you can't do it? And so, okay. So listen.
You're very passionate about this.
I am very passionate. Potato topping as the top of said pie.
Mm-hmm.
Nuh-uh. I'm not buying it.
You're not buying it?
It's not even like a mincemeat pie, right? Where there's like it's a legit pie crust. You know? So all this nonsense has to stop. Cake is fucking better.
I do like how you're trying to justify Team Cake by starting with, I got a pie from McDonald's. As if that's fucking old cuisine.
Well, because, well, yeah, BC, but because that was like, there was the whole tart debate, you know? And I do believe it was Ruddy who said, you know, listen, if you don't have a top on your pie, that's a tart. And I'm with Ruddy on that one. No top, it's a tart. Top, that's a pie. Is cake better? Fuck yeah.
No top, that's a tart. I mean, that applies in different areas of life, not just confectionery. And
it does. It does, Kev. There's all kinds of additional wisdom that you can draw from that. It's a tart.
There's all sorts of misogynistic wisdom that we can derive. Oh, good Lord.
You know, I went and I saw Dune 2 a little while ago, you know? No top. It was a tart.
Okay. Well, look, dude, I just finished reading Dune. So I'm not saying that I'm better than you because I read a book instead of going to see a movie.
Yeah, but you are.
I don't need to say that because it's obvious. Right?
Because it's implied, yeah.
But exactly. I will just say, I mean, we're miles off fucking topic and we'll get into Facebook right away, but I will say that Dune has been one of those books where I've always thought, I should read Dune sometime because everyone goes on about it. I like fantasy and a bit of sci-fi and whatnot, but it's just one of those, for some reason, in my 50 years on this planet, I've just never picked it up. Fuck me. One of those, you know, sometimes when you get a book like that and it can't live up to your expectations. This one exceeded my expectations. Absolutely fantastic bit of writing. Loved it.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Very cool. The movie was good too.
Yeah, well, I'll probably end up watching the movie at some point. Anyway, over on Facebook, my executive producer on the Tom Petty Project, Paul Roberts, says, sorry, been away for a few weeks. Absolutely unforgivable. Says, now playing catch up. Great pod, Mr. Kevin, Mr. Randy. Champ, it's on Queen 2. That's all you need to know. A million miles ahead of the 90s dirge. Mr. Kev, is this better than that Duster 39? And I said, is it better than 39? Objectively, no, I don't think it probably isn't. But my point that I made back to Paul was that I prefer listening to this one in sequence as part of Queen 2 than listening to 39 on A Night at the Opera, which again, I know people will absolutely disagree with me and shout and scream and froth at the mouth, but it's just the way it is. Russell Watkins says, champion, funny you should have an Eric Clapton discussion during this episode, as I hear a lot of Cream influences in Brian's playing here. One of the many highlights of 70s Queen are the switch of vocals to Brian and Roger per album. Just makes for a very rounded listening experience. Yeah, isn't that true? One of the things that sets them apart.
Yeah, you know, there's so many amazing bands in the world, but I've always loved a band that had multiple singers because it just, you can change.
Yeah.
It can just change the whole feel, style, and just you name it. So, yeah. Excellent point.
Multiple singers, multiple songwriters. It's great, yeah.
Mary Hartman, possibly a new commentator. Like the song, just not on the top 50%, so it's dust for me.
Yeah, fair
enough. Suzanne Morris, I've been looking forward to the song coming up for your discussion and so excited to listen to it straight away. Yes, it's not the greatest Queen song ever. It just has something lovely but hard to describe. Muddy, yes. But you do find a lot of that around Misty Castles, and this adds to the beauty for me. The words ethereal and wistful come to mind. I just love the song. It has to be Champ. Well, Suzanne says it's got to be a Champ. I guess maybe we should just re-vote.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Thanks, Suzanne. J. Smith can't dust anything on Queen 2, as all the songs complement each other. Having said that, I'd say this is one of the weaker tracks off of Queen 2. Therefore, if I compare the song to the others of just this album, should I dust it? I guess that's not the exact game we are playing. It's the whole catalog we compare to. So I will vote a champion, but only just.
Alexander Rye says, this is a duster for me, and the only one I dust off the magnificent Queen 2. I don't skip it because of the sequencing on the album, and although I don't consider it trite and shite, it just doesn't have enough to properly spin my donuts. There you go. I mean, she's you know, like when you tap into the lore of the podcast, it's priority points. And Pal Donica says, I had to look this song up to remember what it was like, and I still don't remember hearing it before. As part of the album, it flows along, but as a single song, it's weak and forgettable. I rarely dust any Queen songs, but this one,
I will.
Ooh. And Serena Shemeka says, it's all right. Not a standalone track. It's best listened to with the rest of the album. And again, we've made that argument many times already in this journey, and we'll make it many times more.
Mark Spang Hansen.
The famous sci-fi author, as we established.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
sorry,
that's
he's not a sci-fi author. That's I just want him
We were just speculating. I'm always skipping the song. It's just dull compared to the other songs on Queen 2, so it's dust. And Sarah Chapman, I haven't finished the EP yet, but I'm going to champ it anyway. Not one of my faves, but I wouldn't skip it, so I won't dust it.
Hmm. Yeah, and Lisa Malloy agreed.
And Lisa Malloy is chiming in agreeing, yes.
Okay, James Lawrence finishes it up on Facebook. Says, real toss-a-coin track. Champion, but only just. So yeah, I mean, again, not overwhelming. No, there wasn't really anyone coming on here saying, oh, this is my fucking favorite song that anyone's ever written. Well, apart from Chrissy's, you know, sort of fetishized approach to it, which is to each their own. Fucking no shame in here. Mm. It's just sort of a bit, everyone accepts that, yeah, it's part of Queen 2 and it's an important part of Queen 2, but on its own, yeah, you can make an argument either way, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Queen 2 last week. What if one of us do this week, Mr. Woods?
I was talking to Mrs. Randy, and she asked what song I was going to pick, and I said Body Language, because I say I'm not sure that the average Queenie likes the later stuff.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, Hot Space generally isn't, you don't get sort of a, there's no unanimity about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as we're talking about Hot Space, I'm going to manifest Cool Cat, because that was just released for Record Store Day on 7-inch colored vinyl. Now, I did go down to our little local vinyl store here in town, Randy, to the vinyl exchange. I took Emma down with me, my youngest daughter, and she was amazed to see a lineup outside a record store. But it's Record Store Day, and that's what happens, right? So yeah. We lined up, and I ended up picking up the yellow vinyl copy of Collective Soul, Dosage, which I really, really like. That's a really good album. And they didn't have Cool Cat in, but I went up to the counter as I was paying and asked, oh man, I was disappointed you didn't have any the Queen singling. He says, oh, I can still get that in. Do you want me to put one down for you? So it's coming in, it's going to be on its way, and I will own it. So there you go.
Very nice.
So I think this might be the first time we've both manifested something from the same album. But we'll head over quickly to our Discord community, and we'll find out what our little discordants want to listen to. So we've got another Hot Space right away. Barry John Williams wants to listen to Dancer. Chrissy wants, Was It All Worth It? Aaron Mullins manifesting the big one, Bohemian Rhapsody. Steve Ursel, Son and Daughter, he wants to go back to Queen. Keith Austin, Dead on Time from Jazz. Ian Winnick, Killer Queen, another huge song, obviously. Blackpie, for some reason, wants to listen to My Baby Does Me. Rudy Rutherford, Friends Will Be Friends. That's in a sense a trend here. Michael J. Smith, It's a Beautiful Day. Nikki, Seven Seas of Rye. Mark Spang Hansen, White Queen As It Began, so he wants to stay on side white. Matt Mork, Matt Greenham, The Hero from Flash. Sarah Chappers wants Rocket Prime Jive, and Paz is looking for Mustafa. So yeah, we've got one other person who's looking for Hot Space, and then a few other 80s, 90s. So let's see what this confounded wheel gives us tonight. It'd be great if one of us calls our shot, won't it? Oh, well, we're not getting any of those. here we go. We're getting a Roger song. We're getting a Roger lead vocal, Randy. What song are we listening to?
Nice. We're going to listen to Fight From the Inside off of News of the World. And this is cool. You said this is a Raj, joint?
The Raj joint.
Yeah. Well, see, my second favorite singer in Queen. So this will be good.
Okay. Well, we'll go do that thing we do. And what is that thing we do, Randy, at this point in the podcast?
Do your research.
Oh, of century, lost in the night, haunted by demons, consumed by his flight. In the depths of his soul, darkness takes flight.
All right, Mr. Brown, Fight from the Inside, Roger Taylor, 3:02. Now, actually, as you stated, which I'm going to use right now, it's barely a Queen song. Mm-hmm. Raj sang the lead, the backing vocals, played the drums, the rhythm, and the bass guitar. And only Brian added some extra guitar, apparently just a few little noodly bits here and there. Recorded Basing Street Studios, London, 1977. Looks like it was finished up at Sarm East Studios in September for mixing. Produced by Queen, Mike Stone, and engineered by Mike Stone. So it's kind of interesting at this early in their career. I mean, which album was this? How many albums had they released at this point?
This is number six.
Sixth. So, okay, so that's not that early, is it? But yeah, it's interesting that he would, and I guess I'll reserve judgment, but it's interesting that he would, you know, not let Deaky play the bass and not, you know what I mean? And not have Freddie sing some backups and stuff. So, but I guess he had recorded it in his own studio at home. And what they're saying, a lot of the tracks aren't even redone. They're from the demo even. So, I mean, I guess you got the work done. I guess it's done. So.
I suppose so, but you do wonder, like, you know, we've said it before, you know, I mean, with different people singing and whatnot, well, you got Fred there, like, it's always going to sound better with Freddie singing. Well, almost always going to sound better. And I'll let you sort of reserve judgment on that and let you sort of listen to this one, obviously. But I do wonder with, you know, even Deaky not playing and, you know, if Freddie sometimes, even if he's not singing, he'll play a bit of piano or something. Piano doesn't really fit on this one, obviously, but, or not obviously to you yet, but I don't know. It just, it's only really Roger that does this, tends to be. Where Roger does everything, right? And those are the only songs in the Queen catalog, really, where it's just one person mainly is the Roger songs. I've always been kind of curious about why that is, because I can't see it being. Not every track is going to be like, oh fuck, I'm not playing on that. I'm not interested in that one. And I don't think this would be a song where everyone would have been like, oh fuck, I'm not doing anything on that song. So I'm really curious about what that conversation was and whether it is just that. Well, this is all good enough. So do we need to change it?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, like, it. And I mean, pure speculation. Because I haven't heard anything, but I mean, it could be like, okay, here's the track, guys. Here's my demo, and John might have said, "Oh, well, that's your bass line's great. Like, what's if I played it, I would just do that. So why replay it? It's perfect. You know, it could be simply a matter of that, even.
Yeah. So I think he borrowed John's bass for this one, though. So clearly, he either re-recorded or recorded the bass track afterwards. But you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. In the words of the very famous and very great Paul Moody, as well as. All right, well, do you want to listen to a bit of Fight from the Inside, Randy?
Yes, please.
So it sounds like Queen to me. It always sounds like Queen to me, even though it's only Roger, because it sounds like Roger Taylor drumming. And Roger Taylor drumming sounds like fucking Queen, you know?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. After 24 seconds or whatever we've heard, sounds like a Queen song.
What do you think of the riff so far?
It's a cool riff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it. I like it. I like the little noodly bits on top there.
Yeah.
All that business. Yeah. It just kind of sounds like, you know, a blues lick. It's good.
It's funny too, because, you know, I mean, I don't think this is controversial for me to say, and I'll let people, you know, our listeners disagree with me if they think I'm wrong, is every single one of the best songs that Roger ever wrote, ended up on a Queen album. You know, so I don't think he ever got close to the same level, which is funny with this one because, you know, a lot of the time it's because the other members of the band have sort of, you know, Freddie famously helped him with Radio Gaga and had suggestions and this and that. And so that band sort of approach does make songs better. But with this one, obviously this comes in and this is probably, you know, and there is a demo-ish, demo vocal version of it, at least, that was released on the 40th anniversary album that we can have a little bit of listen to. But this one probably wasn't polished up by the rest of the band. But again, I think, you know, in terms of riffs, it's pretty fucking good, man. I really like the riff of this song. And I like the way the drums are mixed on this one. You know, last week we said that the drums were mixed really muddily and it kind of detracted from the song because the drum part was really cool. On this one, they're so crisp and so clear.
Mm-hmm. But as someone stated on Twitter, Kev, drums in like in by, you know, by Misty.
By the Misty Castles.
By Misty Castles. They're going to sound muddy, you know? This obviously wasn't written and recorded near a misty castle.
Well, there we go. I love the video because we're watching the official lyric video from the official Queen YouTube channel here, and you've got all the images of Frank and the News of the World cover and his little beady robot eyes are so super cool. What key are we in, Randy? Randy's got his acoustic guitar.
F.
Mm.
F, Kev.
That famous key that guitarists love to write songs in, F.
Yeah, no, guitar players really like E flat the best, Kev.
So would that be potentially capoed, or it doesn't sound like it's strings sound natural, sound pretty open, right?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, he could have capoed it or tuned up or something, but yeah. Or he could have just played F.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he's just playing F, is my guess on this one. I don't know why, but sometimes you don't capo an electric guitar that often, hey?
There's no rule saying you can't, Kev.
No rule saying you can't, but you just don't see it very often, right? An acoustic, very, very frequently, and it gives you that different tone. But an electric, you don't see it very often, Randy.
Yeah, you're right, Kev. That's I would say that's an accurate statement.
Look at us getting along.
That's where, yeah, we just get along so well, you know? I mean, it's, I don't know. You need to throw a little fucking wrench into this here. All right, hit her.
I was reading that Slash of, I was going to say of Guns N' Roses fame, but I don't think I really need to say that, do I? Says one of his favorite riffs of all time. I was just listening to this. I've been listening to a lot of Van Halen lately because of, you know, my pal Corey and his podcast. I get little bits of this that sounds almost a little bit like something that could be on Mean Streets or something, or on Fair Warning. It's got that same kind of, you know, minor-y kind of key, dark, broody thing to it, and it's got a really cool drum beat behind it. So it's got that kind of same swing almost that Van Halen has, you know, or had in that sort of 77 to 79 year. You know what I mean? Or am I completely off base there, do you think?
Well, I got to be honest with you, I didn't get that, but that doesn't mean that I'm, that doesn't mean anything, Kev. That doesn't mean a goddamn thing. I like the comparison you're drawing. That's good.
I like
like how he wants you to fight from the inside and attack from the rear. Now that
difficult to do both simultaneously.
I'm just like, oh, I wonder how you doing that, Raj.
Well, I suppose
where's this, you know, an entendre that could possibly be done?
Oh God, don't start that off again. Let's not go there. Well, how about this? I mean, maybe fight from the inside is an allusion to the Trojan horse, the great wooden horse of Troy. And so a portion of the force can attack from the rear while we are also fighting from the inside. So it could be a flanked approach. You know, so that's, you know.
Yeah.
Well, either that or it could just be complete gibberish. You never know. You know.
Yeah, you're thinking out of the box. I like that, Kev. And either way, those lyrics don't really bother me. I was just, as it was going by, I'm like, from the inside and attack from the rear. Oh, okay.
Very specific. Very specific directions.
Kind of a non-ending ending, hey?
Yeah. Different. I mean, and we've had some songs that, you know, we've commented that they've dragged on a little bit past their natural endpoint and probably could have been flipped off a little bit sooner. Well, this one gets out, you know?
Yep. Gets out. I don't know if you've noticed this too, but, and I could be full of shit, which is always a very, very real possibility, but I've noticed that Roger's vocal always sounds quite similar from song to song, and I think he really likes that super short slap delay with,
right?
I think it's just maybe a titch of a chorus or something on it as well. Like, and I mean, just a titch. I really, really love Roger's vocal, so I'm not complaining about it. I was just noticing that's sort of consistent throughout. You know, when I listen to Roger sing, super tight slap delay, with, like I say, just a titch of chorus or something, and then. Whatever, you know, there's obviously some verb on it and it's obviously compressed and all those other things, but he's got such a great rock vocal for my dollar, man.
It does give you that. It's almost like, you know, we always talk about Brian May as a signature sound because the Red Special doesn't sound like anything else. And yeah, I mean, Roger, the way Roger's vocals recorded is almost, that's, you know, almost like his signature, right? It's like, well, let's keep it this way done. Because even like, you know, Rocket Prime Jive has a kind of the same type of feel to it as well. And I can think of other vocals where, yeah, it has the same feel to it.
Yeah.
Great point. I'd never picked up on that before, Mr. Woods, you scurvy knave. Well, it's that time of the podcast, Randy. We've got to listen to it again. Because you've never heard this song before, right?
Nuh-uh.
So what we're going to do, folks, is we're going to listen to this again. Let Randy have a good hard listening to this. Then we're going to come back and talk about it, as is our want. And then we'll wrap things up and let you get on with your lives. There we go, Randy. Fight from the inside. I was just going to ask you something then, but maybe I'll leave that until we get into our discussion, because really, we've got to fucking vote, don't we?
I think we should just vote, and then we can talk about our likes and dislikes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, whose turn is it to vote, Kev?
It's your turn to vote first on this one. So, yeah, so you got to go first, my friend.
Interesting. See, I'm stalling here now because I'm trying to make up my mind. But you can ask the question whenever you like, Kev. There's no point in delaying this any further for these lovely, lovely people who are just sitting here waiting for you to ask the fucking question.
Is this one of the champions or does it bite the dust?
I'm joking. I wasn't stalling. I like it.
Champions, my friends.
Well, that's my vote, Kev. What about you? Is this a champion or does this one bite the motherfucking dust?
We are the champions, my friend.
Ah, dude, it's a banger. I think this song's a banger. I fucking love, I mean, you know, I'm a sucker for a dirty bluesy guitar riff, and I think might be the best guitar riff Roger ever wrote, maybe. I mean, that's a conversation worth having at some point toward the end of the podcast and on the socials. Is the one better? I don't know if there is. And I like the way that it doesn't just sit in one place. He does develop it and he brings in sort of different elements to keep the, you know, because if it was just that one riff, he'd get, okay, well, it's going to be boring now. Do something else. He does do something else with it. His vocal on this is fucking killer. I like his delivery on some of the lines. Like any, you know, Roger, we've sort of criticized for his lyrics sometimes, frequently, maybe it would even be a better word. But just that hang that he puts in, you're just another fool. So he doesn't sort of pack a bunch of syllables in there. So the count, the cadence of it, I think that's variable and it works really nicely. The ooze in the bridge, maybe could you do something else there? Maybe that's the only sort of slight dip in the song, but I think it does the job in the song. I wouldn't necessarily change it. I was thinking as I was listening to this again, Randy, it's one of those rock songs that I could really hear your band doing a cover of, really fucking cool with the horns. Like, throw some horns into this. I think it sounds wicked cool.
yeah, for sure. You could totally do this as you could take, give it more of a funk treatment quite easily.
Yeah, because it's got a groove, eh? There's a groove to it that you can, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, as a matter of fact, the opening groove too, if I mean, maybe this is a bit of a stretch, but it almost has kind of a Zeppelin-y, Bonham-y kind of feel to it.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. And then they kind of fall into this riff. So the whole thing kind of has a bit of a Zepp kind of feel.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, and I don't exactly know which parts Brian played, which parts Rog played. And I'm talking just about the guitar here.
Yeah.
But the guitar tone is really quite nice. It really sounds good.
Yeah.
And for my ear, and then maybe, you know, maybe other musos can dial it. I think maybe there might be just a titch of distortion on the bass too. Like which very often could do a very nice thing to bass instruments. Mm-hmm. You know, here's one little thing I've noticed, which is kind of odd, is that, you know, it's maybe accidental, who knows, but verse two is shorter than verse one,
right,
by two lines. So, you know, I mean, if you were to throw a chart up in front of somebody, you'd have to make sure that they know that that's, you know, verse one's like 14 bars and verse two is 12 or whatever the actual count is. But just by the count of lines, there's two lines short. And it's interesting that you say, you like how he says just another, and then he gives a pause, fool.
Yeah.
To me, I'm almost wondering, like, did he not have a couple more lines to finish, to make it even? Because, you know, I mean, I was going to say you want to make it even. It's just the nature of writing poetry and whatnot, right? Is you want all parts to be equal. So why he didn't, I don't know. And and Roger's vocal is great. I like it very much. You're right, and I agree with you completely, especially the second listen here, the ooze and then you know, two oohs and the ah.
Yeah.
It felt just a little, it's like, I don't know, it's all right. I didn't hate it. It's just like, maybe because something else could have happened there. Or maybe, now this is really just throwing whatever the fucking word I'm looking for in, but, you know, maybe that first time around the chorus, they just eliminate the oohs and the ahs and those last two lines, which is right from the inside, right down the line, make it a shorter chorus than into verse two, and then make your second chorus your longer one. And
right. Do
you know what I mean? Just that's strictly an arrangement kind of a thing. Then those oohs and ahs wouldn't be so, well, they'll only have happened once, possibly twice. I forget the end.
Yeah. It would have been once. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? I don't know. That's just a bullshit. Hindsight's 2020 comment
for sure. And I think that, you know, that is possibly then where Freddie might have said, well, yeah, but why don't we, because you're doing this twice,
yeah,
it's good to put it either in the middle as a bridge or at the end as a coda, but maybe not in both places. Like, cause I don't mind it because it's such a short song that it doesn't drag the song down.
No, you know, it doesn't. Yeah, like I said, that's really a hindsight, it's 2020
for sure comment.
Yeah,
but I also think that I, like I said, I mean, I always like things like that and end up listening to lots of music for these, you know, my voicing my opinions on the world about music. You start looking for things like song structure and, okay, well, if there is two extra lines in this verse, And if one, you know, if the sort of the syllable count doesn't line up, I actually tend to like that now more than I used to, maybe just because it gives you something different to listen to. But again, this song is verse, chorus, bridge. So there's no solo in it, which is, you know, you would sort of almost expect that from a Roger composition or whatever. And especially when you find out Brian plays it, oh, there's going to be a solo in it. So it's fairly, that's somewhat atypical, you know, verse, chorus, bridge. That's not a typical song structure for a rock song. So again, I think there's enough packed into this little 3-minute number that I just, and it's the last song. It's the last song on side one of News of the World. It's a punchy little number. I love it.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking after the oohs and ahs, are you calling that the bridge?
That's what I mean, it's either that or it's because I don't know, because it's a C section. It's not the A or B section. So it's post chorus. I don't fucking know.
It's almost just kind of part of the chorus.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying though. They might even go to the four chord there. I'm not sure.
Right.
It could go to the, probably be a B flat, I guess, or
right.
A C or whatever. I guess C would be the 5 chord, but yeah. All in all. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I mentioned the drums at the start sounding like Zep, but they sound great too. Like the kit sounds great and the bass sounds great. Yeah, just all around, man. All around. It's a really good track. The only thing that would probably make it better is if you had Deaky and Fred fucking singing some of those backups. Pretty could have fucking nailed that shit, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you got Brian, Freddie and Rog singing some of the harmonies, even on just the ooze, it would give it just a little bit more of a flavor. Yeah.
Yeah. Good that's point. The thing when you do your own backing vocals is that it can be one dimensional, right?
Yeah.
Because you're just not adding that other person's waiver or that other person's personality is just not there.
Yeah.
And that's what I think a lot of us, well, speaking for myself, love about Queen is those three guys singing together.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, well, that's what we think about it, Randy. So I guess what we really should do is try and figure out all the jackanapes and lunatics out there, how they're going to vote. Because they are an unpredictable lot. They don't always vote the way we think they're going to vote.
No, they don't.
And it's your turn to go first. I know you don't love going first, but... Yeah.
It's okay, so I can do it. I can do
fight
it.
Fight from the inside. News of the World's a beloved album.
Fight from the inside, attack from the rear.
Randy likes that line.
I really do like that line. Well, I think it's hilarious. But anyhow, having said that, I think our Queen Hive mind is going to think this song is the tits. I think they're going to like it. I think they're going to think these are maple sugar tits. That's good.
Just for clarification for our non-Canadian friends, that's not a thing.
It is. Maple syrup tits. Yes, it is a thing. In my mind. Okay. No, I'm going to say 80-20.
Ooh, okay.
I think people are going to like this. I did use the maple syrup trope, so come on.
The Cardinal, he doth rarely go so high. Doesn't oh, you don't often go above 75 for some of the songs in the, well, you know, the deeper cuts. So
I know this bold. Is true, but I really think people are going to this is going to be a favorite, isn't it? I guess maybe I'm off base.
I suspect so. So I'm actually going to go higher.
Oh, you bastard. Yeah, I'm going to go 85. So
I'm going to go 86-14. Because I think there will be some people who, for whatever reason, just it doesn't spin their donut. You know, those people are wrong. We know that. Doesn't spin their fucking cake. What about donuts? Are they cakes or pies?
Well, actually, oddly enough, Kev, a donut is cake. So there you go.
Whatever then. Okay, so you're going 80-20. I'm going 86-14. Go vote, and we'll talk about your vote next week. Give a bit of a listen to the demo vocal version. So this was released as part of the 40th anniversary edition of News of the World. I still have to get that actually on vinyl at some point, but we'll just give a little bit of a flick through and see what differences there are, if any.
Yes, please.
Plenty of drums.
Yeah. Studio chat. I always like that.
The distortion there in the bass.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds cool as fuck.
Very minor.
Hey,
It's funny, hey, because this demo version, there's not nearly as much snarl in his voice.
Yeah.
You know, because he's really sort of cracking his vocal on the final version.
Yeah. Yeah. And I realize there's a demo version too, but his vocal's pretty buried on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, yeah. But you were saying like that, that slight distortion on the bass at the beginning there, it really makes it sound good.
It's yeah, kind of, yeah, yeah.
Quite an inventive little bass intro too from Rog, right? Like, you know, because if he's not really a bass player, you wouldn't necessarily think of doing that. You just come in on the one and play the root and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's cool. It's cool. Yeah, it'd be interesting to know what kind of bass they were recording. I mean, I think it's probably the Precision, but I mean, through what amp is what I was kind of wondering.
Yeah.
If it's a Fridge or what they're using.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. There's a question for all our little gearheads and tech heads out there in Queensland. If you know what the setup was for News of the World or, you know, for any of these songs that we're talking about, let us know, because we genuinely love learning all that stuff because we're big old tech and gear nerds, so we like knowing.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, well, how many songs have we done from News of the World now? Let's have a look. That was our, oh, that's our seventh song.
Holy Diana.
Yeah, it's our seventh song, and we're fucking 7-7 so far, man.
It's seven champions.
Seven champions on each side, and high rated amongst the on the Twitter polls too. So Get Down Make Love was the only one that was below 80. Spread Your Wings was the highest from this one. So and I looking down the track, we've got It's Late, My Melancholy Blues, Sleeping on the Sidewalk, All Dead, All Dead. I can only think of one of those songs that you might dust. You might, depending on what mood you're in that evening, there's one of those songs I think you might dust, but I don't think you will the other three.
Okay. Okay. Well, it makes me want to listen to them even more.
Mm-hmm. I think this one, because obviously Queen 2, you've already dusted a couple. Mm-hmm. I think this one and The Game might be the two that we, they're the only ones I think in the catalog that we might clean sweep based on what we've had so far. But I'll never rule out the Cardinal being a bit of a douche and just fucking throwing a fly into the ointment just for the sake of being a, you know,
little fadouche.
Little fadouche douche.
Good work, you know, Kev, it'll be interesting at the end of this whole podcast if we took all of the votes and graded it on a curve. So to put half the catalog above and half the catalog below to make it a true 50%, because the way we're looking now, we're going to have way more champions than we are dusters, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's funny when you look at that, because right now, if I just go and take a look at the song rankings that we have so far, and tonight's 70, this is the 75th song, so it's not in there yet, but if we go to sort of a midpoint, so if we look at sort of 37, well, we're getting into, I mean, Tenement Funds is in there, Kind of Magic, Keep Yourself Alive, the Prophet song's in there, Sheer Heart Attack's kicking around that sort of midpoint, you know what I mean? So you're getting close to, like, oof, are you going to start dusting some of these songs, you know?
Well, yeah. I know, and you think of all the huge songs we haven't had yet.
Oh yeah,
that have to be. Yeah, I think that's we got to do that at the end of it all. We'll figure out whatever that mid score is, and figure out which songs fall and above and below it, and have a true 50% above and 50% below. It'd be interesting to see which songs actually fall below, because I bet you there'd be an awful lot of them that people fucking adore.
Yeah,
but.
I mean, guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed. Yeah. I mean, if I look at the, like I said, I mean, if I look at the song rankings and I look at that lower half, I mean, Jesus, Keep Yourself Alive, Last Palabras Day or More, Don't Try So Hard, Coming Soon, Get Down, Make Love, I Love, like, you know, She Makes Me, Headline. Yeah, you're getting into some of the lesser tracks there, but there's only, what have we got? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We've only got 14 that have polled below 50%. And of those,
only
three of those are,
of 75.
Of 75. Well, 74 because we haven't polled on this one yet. But and again, of those, three of them are not Queen songs. They're, you know, they're solo or they're, you know, B sides. Well, I suppose Queen, Soul Brother is, but they're not album tracks, I guess. They're not main release album tracks. So yeah, it's a lot of. I thought it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be an interesting exercise to do. But do it, we shall. We shall do it. Even though it's exercise, and exercise is not a dirty word, Randy.
I know, Kev. Come on.
You know what is a dirty word? Job. It's a positively disgusting word. I'm throwing you references. Yeah, that's one for Ian. That's one for Ian Winnick. Ian will know what I'm talking about.
Okay, because I thought I did, but I guess I don't.
What is it? What do you think I'm talking about?
I have no fucking idea. You're talking about working a job, and it's not exercise.
Blackadder. Job. Oh. Job is a disgusting word.
Oh, I don't do Blackadder. I don't know anything about Blackadder.
Yeah. All right. Well, should we wrap it up then? What do you think? Have you any sort of final thoughts on, you know, Queen or Cake? Oh, fuck. I've opened that door again. Jesus. Fuck. We're not talking about Cake anymore. You've just got to be in your bonnet about it, and we're not talking about it anymore.
Cake. Better. Cake. Also, great band.
Humble Pie?
There's no great bands called Pie.
Yeah, there is Humble Pie. You wrote a great song called Humble Pie.
I did, but that's just a one song. And Humble Pie, the band themselves, although we do like them, as good as Cake?
No, they're not as good as Cake.
To be honest.
I like Cake. I really like Cake.
There, see, now we need to lift that from the podcast. I've got Kev admitting he loves Cake.
I do love Cake. Just really like pie as well.
Episode 76. You're just another sucker ready to fall. Man, if I had a dollar every time I've had that said to me. Our pal Raj here fired up his 1970s four-track at home and wrote up a pretty decent Queen song, I'd say, considering he didn't use half the band. Be interesting to know more about how all that went down. If I were to title this episode, I'd call it Ooh, Ooh, Ah, or possibly Attack from the Rear. We genuinely appreciate your support and engagement, so you can find us on Facebook and Blue Sky at Seaside Pod Review, and on Twitter at Queen Seaside. Also, come on over to Discord. We have some extras and all kinds of other goofy things going on over there. We'll be back with you next week to chat about Queen.
Brand new angle, highly commendable. Seaside Pod Review. Woo-hoo. Seaside Pod Review.
Give us a kiss, Cavi.
Seaside Pod Review. City, too big for this town.